also providing a brief introduction and also provide a brief overview on the budget allocation for the first for this current financial year. And I will also look at the program allocation in the spring. I will also towards the end highlight on the key challenges and then I will conclude. I think honorable members are quite aware that the constitution of the Republic of South Africa really gives Parliament the power of the chair and stipulates that the executive revenue expenses must be approved by Parliament. Like any other democracy, South Africa, the South Democratic Constitution needs or fire budget appropriation and taxation measures to be approved by Parliament in order to become effective. Parliament, through the optimal use of each oversight, has already ensured that the money approved by the portfolio committee, the portfolio committee, really does what it's intended for. And I think it's important or it's very interesting for honorable members. As a representative of the government, to really continue to monitor expenditure of government institutions. So really, to ensure that the meeting priorities are accepted with the end of the national then government departments can implement the budget as effectively implemented and is also allocated the resources that are utilized for the internal purposes. Yes. As opposed to the 24.4 projected and this is really not in line with what the trader recommends. What the trader really recommends are a benchmark of 25%. So the 10.6 that is really not in line with what the trader recommends. And you also feel that visible policy program, the 10.6% as opposed to the 26.8%. What you can see here is that relatively almost four programs that really advanced in the first quarter. It's only production services there that sort of was a marginal percentage of over expenditure. So you see that in terms of the trend, this is really relating the same with the previous financial year. So as I said, 60.5 billion of the 72 billion appropriated for the year was spent at the end of June. Expenditure was marginally below the approved benchmark of 25% at the national level. Spending showed a similar trend when compared to the same growth during the 2013-2014 financial year. Spending for the first quarter was almost at par with the projected spending of the period for all programs of the first. But really, if you go back, you will see that there was an overall variance of what is 0.8%. And then slightly more than 10 expenditure occurred in the administration program. This is from policy, effective, and time intelligence. And marginally higher than trend expenditure occurred on program number 5, which is protection and security services. Overall spending on payments for capital assets remains very low. Overall spending on transfers and services remain marginally low. And then I think the question then that comes really, the question that the research committee should ask or investors to explain is why first quarter was marginally below the approved benchmark of 25% by the Treasury. The test should also explain the under expenditure on 4 of the 5 programs and marginally higher than 10 expenditure in the protection services. And then if you look at, if you take those programs each and then you zoom in specific program, you see that program 1, which is administration, the program at the end of June spent 3.1 billion of the 15.3 billion that was allocated to it. Program marginally was marginally behind approved projection of 20.2%. This program, which is administration, also contributed to the proportion of the unspent funds in the department. The program's percentage of spending was really marginally lower than compared when you look at the compare this current financial year and the previous financial year. And then the question that arrives whether, or I think the question that the committee should really be asking whether staff should explain why program 1 underspent within the first quarter of 2014-15 financial year. The committee should also be clarity as to why program 1 was marginally behind the approved expenditure. The committee should also request that to explain a trend of first quarter expenditure. Because if you look at the things that here, you will notice that departments, more social affairs and others like IKG, in the first quarter of the financial year, they understand that they try to catch up later on in the third quarter or fourth quarter. And then that comes really a lot of challenges, such as fiscal campaigns, where money is going to be used, where in places where it's not supposed to be used. So I think this is also a concern that the committee should be going to follow. The committee should also request that to explain why marginally higher than 10 expenditure was noticeable on combination of invoices and customers. Generally, that we have to check the filling of the vacancies or the promos for not under the plan to the promoter. The test should really indicate whether the promoter gets fed within the program for the promoter achieved. And then it goes to digital policy, which is program number 2. Our requirement was to address the right to say, I think all of them are there, so I won't go into detail on that. But just to go to the question, I think the committee should really be asking, or the committee should ask the staff to explain the reasons for unexpected reported in program 2. And then it should also feature it as to why expenditure protection for this program was there, that's 3.8, which is below the committee for the request has provided reasons as to why spending on compensation of employees in program two was ahead of what they said spending by amount of $241.7 million. And the department is going to explain why much money is unaccounted for the recorded in transfers and subsidies and on payments for capital assets. If we go to program number three, which is the executive services, you will see that, if you look at the break, you will see that at the end of June, the program spent $6.4 billion, or 2.7% of the money that was given. And the program, like others, was marginally behind the approved projection of 24.7%. The program projection expenditure was also not in line with the above benchmark for the Treasury, and the physical proportion of the general service program was incurred under current investigation that program. And the question again that the committee should be asking is, it should ask us to explain why program C understands for its allocated budget during the first quarter. The committee should also speak on it as why the expenditure for projection for this program was set at 24.1% below the benchmark. So you see that this trading of targets below the federal recommendation of benchmark is presenting something that is apparent to the people operating within the program. And then that raises the risk of concern as to whether are really following what the structural sheets them to do. The second question is saying why compensation of employees in program 3 was ahead of the dependent. It should also indicate whether the performance side of that within the program were achieved in the first quarter. And then if you go to production service, which is program number 5, you will see that at the end of June 2014, expenditure on this program was $576.5 million, or 25% of the 2.07 million allocated for the program for the 1 year. The program was marginally ahead. So unlike the four other programs that were really underspending, this one was the only program that was ahead of this project that are spending. The politicians really asked the to explain why program 5 understands on its allocated budget during the first quarter. It should also request that to provide the reasons for the overall spending on employees. The first issue is whether the performance that you have set the program will be achieved. And then just to highlight key issues that you might face from the airport. Committee members, one of the most important that was an overall expenditure for the department. In other words, the total expenditure of $16.5 billion of the $22.5 billion for the year was an offense, and this was much higher below the approved. So, if you look at spending on consultants, spending on consultants, catering and entertainment, there was a high expenditure on those issues. And spending on consultants as well as catering and entertainment was higher than what the department had projected, representing a diminution of 27.7 million, and 5.5 million again approved projections for the expenses. And then also look at the issue of spending on earmarked funds. To some extent, there was non-compliance there, because contrary to the provisions of the 2014 NGMF allocation measure, the department has held a plan of the department has incurred expenditure amounting to $486 million, or 7.6% of the EMAS allocation for the crime justice program, criminal justice program rhythm. This expenditure was incurred despite the fact that the CJS project plan had not yet been approved by the National Treasury. So we see that the non-compliance, the Treasury telling the government to do this, the department is doing what it's not supposed to do. And also if you look at spending on better projects, spending on building is actually for politicians was the high shelter by $134 million. And you will recall, I think the fourth parliament, in the Constitutional Forum, the committee has been evaluating index in distinctive age. Distinctive age was higher at 3.7%. In other words, 7,525 vacancies was recorded. The higher distinctive age, 5.7%, was recorded under the administration level. I think moving forward, the community edge should be mindful that there is the highest population under or over expenditure. Because the UFS will have a community to maintain it throughout the year. So that the relevancy is the community to continually monitor the expenditure of the department. The expenditure reported at the end of the third quarter of the community is implemented. Don't resemble that of previous financial year. So it's really a recurrent or different looking at the previous financial year. And this also really needs to take the community to remove. Monitor the expenditure of the government and see how it is going to spend the 7.5 billion allocated to whether it is going to spend it effectively and efficiently, and whether it is going to be paid for money at the end of the day.
Thank you very much, everyone, for that good exposition. We appreciate that. I think we can take some steps, delegation in here. May just to the minister that joined us, welcome to him as well. Just many of you have stated indications that we've already indicated. Next week, of course, we will come to Pretoria. On Monday, we will meet in the Bureau of Aging at 2 o'clock. Then on Tuesday morning, we will be with the Firehouse Registry to monitor the progress in terms of what they reported to us a couple of weeks ago, to monitor that. And then we also do one of the surprise visits. Our planning for Thursday and Friday for the Malanga visit, unfortunately, we have to cancel that, but we will do that on a later date. So I just want to make sure this in terms of our planning. We will also, after the interaction with chaps, also make available copies of the draft program for October and November. Chaps, welcome to join us.
Thanks, sir.
evening presenting and also responding to questions are as follows. I am Lieutenant General Skitter, DMC for Resource Management, standing in for General Piega, who has apologized for not being able to attend. Obviously, we know that there's also a Randfest meeting in Pretoria this morning. Then also to my left-hand side, I would, and I think it's better maybe for them to introduce themselves, because then you hear the tone of voice, and you see the face, and you also, and the person speaking for him or herself. So my left-hand side, General Zesi, over to you, please introduce, and then the next witness, please.
Thank you, General. Good morning. I'm Major General Shirley, Acting Commissioner, Tima.
Good morning, Jefferson. My honourable members, Lieutenant General Masibo, the Head of Human Resource Management.
Good morning, Chair, and also to the members. I'm Major General Son, responsible for supply chain management.
Good morning, honourable Chairperson and honourable members. I'm Major General Masala, representing the Division of Accessible Policy.
Good morning, honourable Chair, honourable members. I'm Ganesh Munu, the Provisional Commissioner for the Safety Service.
Thank you very much. Maybe before I go to my introductory remarks, just maybe a follow-up on administrative matters. Just maybe to them again, then the Deputy National Commissioner, that he can also convey the message to the National Commission. We had previous interactions with SAS with regard to this trip and some budget drinks. We also had that meeting requested certain documents. And I just want to highlight that again, that it is quite important that we get those documents. I will, during the course of the action, also refer to one specific project that we haven't received any feedback. And we got a list that's been compiled by our researchers on those outstanding documents. And we already gave yellow cards to secretaries and either to send it back of re-preparing documents and so on. So this is just that alerting such that we need those documents. We can't go through the DFOR process without these documents and reports. So it just brings a reminder that we get those documents, because we can't, as portfolio committee, do our oversight properly if we don't have the documents. And of course, departments are being urged to ensure that, of course, the portfolio committee are the documents that we get and the proper reports. So as for that, maybe just to indicate again the context of today's hearing, and that's why it's so important, and I really appreciate the attendance of members here today, because we want to look at, of course, the spending patterns, but the bigger picture is we want to see the implementation of the National Development Plan, especially Chapter 12, in terms of outcomes. And that's our benchmark, that's our milestone. That should be also present in all presentations to this committee. Are we making progress? Because, right, we can come to the format, but in terms of milestones, are we really achieving those goals? And if we want to have a police service that is trusted by the community, and if we want to really ensure that true crime and high crime is dealt with, that means that Chapter 12 must be implemented as soon as possible. So the criminal justice system should have a single set of objectives and satisfy the important role. We need the demilitarization of the police, integrated approach to safety and security, and of course, all vulnerable groups, including women, children, and rural communities, should enjoy equal protection. So that is the lens from which we're going to evaluate this. If rural communities are not safe, if children and women are not safe, we are not really making headway in terms of item 3. And I think we as members are unified from whatever party we are to ensure that aim is achieved. So that is really the context for this morning's meeting, and we will looking forward to the interaction. So without further ado, over to General Skitter. Thank you, sir. Thank you for also for clarity, although it obviously is in the woven in our presentation, so to speak, there's not a specific highlight that we presented in terms of the NDP. We are concentrated on first quarter expenditure as indicated, and from now on we will also in second, third and fourth quarters also elaborate more in this regard. May I just say that apart from the list, which we would very much appreciate, that emanated from your satellite station, I think was in Molinton or Dandelion, that the documents that you are requesting is also other documents that will be presented to you during September, which the department in a letter also promised to members of this committee after the meeting we EMP for 14, 15 some time ago. So that is also due for this committee in September, as we've indicated, and we will see if we comply with this with the committee in this requirements in this regard. Chair, shall we then proceed and present our first quarter expenditure, indicate where we are in terms of budget against actual expenditure, what the gaps are, what the reasons for the gaps are, and then also obviously what the committee are most interested in, what are we doing about it, and how are we going to proceed in order to get full expenditure at the end of the day, according to thresholds put in place by Parliament when looking at appropriating money, either per total amount, either per program, either per item, either per earmarked amount of whatever nature. May I then proceed? And Chair, I assume and infer that your ruling would be that questions and answers will then be afterwards, not during the presentation. So I will then start with the presentation per se. Once again, it's also important, and the National Commission also required of us, again, highlight just the 40 outcomes of Parliament, of government, and then also maybe just to refresh our minds, go back to the basics, while we are also submitting the fourth quarter of expenditure. Obviously, all members are aware of the fact that one of our big aims, according to the 14 outcomes, are all people in South Africa are and feel safe. That is the primary outcome that we are a primary role player in this regard. Some of the other outcomes, we are secondary role players, and I'm not going to elaborate in depth in terms of the outcomes. Members of this committee know it as well, if not better than we do, because it is in their working domain every year. If we then go to outcome 3 per se and we write it down a bit, we will then see that the reduced levels of contact for people in South Africa are inside the outcome 3, and that implies reduced levels of contact funds for the violent of nature. An efficient, effective criminal justice system, the typical CJIJS project that's currently underway. South Africa borders effectively defended, protected, secured, and well managed, taking into account what we are responsible for in the border, both environment with the fair meter, and then also defense in terms of the line environment. Then also secure cyberspace, domestic stability ensured, secure identity of all persons in South Africa, and corruption in the public and private sectors reduced in various environments, in the SAPs, but also outside the SAPs, and also with the spearmen in the DPCI environment. Then if we go further, and we look also at outcomes 11 and 12, where we are, shall we say, secondary role players, create better South Africa, a better Africa, and a better world. The sub-outcome for a peaceful and secure Africa, deployment of staff members as per cabinet decision. We all know that we do have members in Sudan and even now in Lesotho. Southern Africa, the regional police chief corporation, the SARCO membership that we currently have, which the National Commissioner is chair of in this, will be continuing this year. The Interpol participation that we also have, addressing cross-national crime, bi-national and multinational engagements. Then, also, in terms of outcome 12, an efficient, effective, and developmental-oriented public service, further delivering quality and access, we can even read into the frontline service delivery programs and all the partners also answer to deliver, human resource management and development, we highly, highly personnel, we can say 75% of our load are expended on compensation actors, so obviously a very important aspect for us as well. Business process system, decision rights, and accountability in order to become more effective, and then also tackle corruption effectively in this regard. Now, it is also important, especially when we are at the beginning of the new term of Parliament, that we also just again refer to our key ministerial priorities. Effective transformation of the police, smarter police engagement with the criminal justice system, even process, golden thread that's running in all of this, whether you're talking medium-term strategic frameworks, whether you're talking medium-term budget policy statement, whether you're talking APP, whether you're talking strategic plan, whether you're talking key ministerial priorities, whether you're talking outcomes of South Africa. ensuring that the price of building new police stations is accelerated, a significant challenge, and we will elaborate on that quite extensively. Accelerate the implementation of the public order policing policy, and there was also a presentation a week or 3 ago to this committee in this regard. Strengthening of crime intelligence, capacitating the re-establishment of family child and sexual offences to stop their units, which have already come a long way since their disbandment years ago. We have already also introduced a number of them. Then also focused recruitment of personnel to attract appropriate skills. It has been mentioned to this committee that we also have a more intensified recruitment process and also recruiting elements to it. Effective training of SAPS personnel, command and control professionalism and accountable policing, and implementing rural safety that embraces all rural communities. Members of this committee will also see and identify that a lot of these ministerial priorities are part and parcel of the military, also part and parcel of the NDP, provincial master policing, professional policing, and so forth. Now if we get to the details of the vote, and what we will do is we'll take a broader viewpoint and then narrow it down. If we first look, and may I just say, to the four quarters of the financial year, obviously it's very simple. If you divide it by four, it's 25%, 30%, 75%, and then also 100%. If you look at the total, explicit, linear apportionment of that. If we look at this, of the total expenditure, one will immediately see that currently we are standing after 3 months of the financial year, end of June, we're standing at 22.8%, with a remainder of 77.2%. That's the broad picture. Now, we will get to the scenario, and if you take a linear projection, a precise linear projection, we should have been at 25. So we are at that behind in this regard, but we shall refer to it and the reasons and the trends in previous financial years as well. The first thing is 25 versus 22.8%. If we then go to the, shall we say, cash outflow scenario, the disbursement scenario in a monthly manner, and we measure ourselves to two previous financial years, one would immediately see in the slide, which indicates an annual cumulative trend, it is quite similar to previous years at the end of the first quarter, a little bit behind, but quite similar in this regard. We believe that SAS will spend its full allocation at the end of the fourth quarter, the same as in 2013-14. And may I just pause there for a moment. SAS had a history for all 5 years for members of this committee where we had 400% expenditure, except in 2011-12 and 2012-13. In 2011-12, we had an annual expenditure of approximately 670 million, which consisted mainly of two big items, the CJS and then capital works as well. Then also in 2012-13, where we had an under expenditure of 232 million, which reduced 99.6%, 99.8%, which reduced because we addressed to a large extent the element of capital expenditure, and there was still a remainder for CJS expenditure. And then last year, obviously, the focus is not the last year, as we must all submit, the minister must all table in Parliament our annual report, but members will see there was 100% expenditure last year, again, in this regard. So, we say the trend is similar, although we are a little bit behind compared to a previous financial year in this regard. Can I just maybe indicate also how we do these cash flows? There's a number of items. There's approximately, if I'm not mistaken, between 800 and 900 standard items, and there's more items in your stomachs, in your smart tablet chart of accounts, your account structure of department, in ICT prescribed by treasury. What we do is, to a large extent, except for the big, big spending items such as capital works, property, vehicles, leases, compensation you do on a costing from zero base in order to get a monthly expenditure. We look at previous spending patterns. We look at current budget. We isolate, and I'm summarizing now, we isolate one-off expenditures. We look at recurring expenditures, and then we
just if we know we're going to have a big event, such as an election, which we didn't have in the previous financial year, we adjust that period with the amount that we estimate we're going to spend on the election, or an event such as a cash cup, or any other major expenditure. For instance, also salary increases. Sometimes our salary increases are backdated, but we only pay them after it has been signed in the Public Service Bargaining Council. They say they signed it in July, but they pay it in August, backdated from 1 April. So then you have the balloon payment. Of course, obviously, it's in a backdated scenario. So you sit in that regard. So this is the kind of methodology, to a large extent statistical of nature, except for compensation, which is costing from zero, and other big expenditures, which is project driven, which we then take into account, such as EJS, IJS, and buildings, for instance. So this is basically how we measure ourselves. We have been doing it. We've got time series for the past 7, 8, 9 years, and we use more than one time series in order to smooth peaks and valleys that might arise because of those events. That is how we isolate it. So this is basically how we do our monthly disbursements, and the aspect is you may not spend more than you have withdrawn from the National Revenue Fund in a cumulative manner up to a certain point where you are then in this financial year. Can we get it again to the next slide? And I think some of the members who have been with this committee for some time know this very, very well, and we also refer to it again just to our classification system, because in a big department such as ours, one can very easily get confused between a program and a responsibility. Now, we are a single police force. We have one vote. We don't have concurrent function in the sense that we have provincial departments to say, so we are one vote. Vote SAS, vote police. And our programs reflect them. Our general purposes and objectives. You can even see this cross function. That's very important. Think now at any function in the police. Think about the environment of General Munu. That would mean detect the services from top to bottom in the organization. But if you look at the responsibility classification, which is not needed because we don't appropriate, because we are not provincial of nature, you will have detectives in Western Cape and also in Gauteng. That's a critical responsibility scenario. Refer them to programs, which are those broad aims and objectives in the police. Secondly, then also, those broad aims and objectives, how do we achieve it? We need goods and services in order to provide our services or use the products such as vehicles and S&T and whatever in order to achieve those objectives. For instance, in the election, we had, because to a large extent part of this whole policing and detection, but we need certain things such as S&D to deploy person. That kind of scenario that we have, which we always, I know it's a very simplistic concept, but later on as we get deeper and deeper into the figures, one must just always remember that, and that's why it's so important. If we then go to the program environment, and we go down a bit deeper, remember now the programs are exactly that first categorization of expenditure. One would immediately see that there are 5 programs. The 6 ones will come in time to come for the next financial year, starting 15-16, the current 5 programs. And one would see that under program 1, there's a 20.6% expenditure level. There is under program 2, 23.6%. Under program 3, 22.7%. Under program 4, 24.1%. And a program 5, 25.2%. Now, later in the presentation in the text, members of the committee, we address each one of those where we also look at the sub-program, because the sub-program impacts on the program. And within the sub-program, you can even get an item that impacts on the program. But that's the last part of the presentation, so that let me not be premature by referring to you why certain things are over and under now, because we are going to do it. That it. If we then take a benchmark into account, one would see 25% vis-a-vis the 22.8%. Then the question arises on the outside, in the committee side, why, and after why, how are we going to address it? Because go to the next one, which is visual, sometimes all the bird's eye view, immediately see the differences. One would see that the administration, the digital policing, the detective services, the crime intelligence, the protection and security services, and what the percentages are, what the remaining of the financial year entails, and what the total is. It is literally like a tank or a quasar, and for me it's always very visually striking because you can immediately see that which are more or less aligned and which one is a little bit behind. You can immediately see whether one is a little bit behind. Two is sort of in line, three and four and five, what their statuses are. So I think that's a very, very, very important aspect. Now if we go to the next classification system, as I said, the programs we will address as we go through the text. Then if we go to the next one, and we always include this for members, easy reference, you don't have to worry about looking promises, you just go and you see, oh, promises. Promises is a territory of departmental agencies and households. You can immediately see in the narrative what that classification entails, because to give you a breakdown sometimes says that it's a transfer payment, what does it really mean? And the same with goods and services, and then also capital about 5,000 rand. So this is merely for the convenience of the reader in order to be able to leave the narrative to then the figures per se. And there are basically three big summarized environments. So current payments, which consist of your compensation and your goods and services. Then you have your promises and your subsidies, which consist of your promises, departmental agencies and households. It just stands there so for a moment. Promises and municipalities, mostly the vehicle licenses. Then departmental agencies, payments to CFI, etc. And then your households. This category reflects funding to discharge, retirement payouts, death grants, medical treatments of detainees, injury on duties and civil claims. Under your departmental agencies and accounts, you will always also find your transfer payment to the secretariat, which is now an own designated department. So that's an amount that we must transfer to them, and I'll specifically refer to where we are with that current status chairperson at this point. Then also the payment for capital assets, which consists of the buildings environment and then also machinery and equipment above 5,000 rand. Now if we then go to the economic classification, the following would appear. As we said, these are the items that one could hear, the goods and services that one could hear, which you use in order to perform your process. And in this environment, we sit with and we've just referred to compensation, for instance. Now the compensation currently is standing at 25.2%. It's quite enough. There's not much of a problem there. What we are going to do in the adjustment estimate that's coming, we will probably move 120 million from goods and services to compensation. The reason being, remember, we did not receive 1 cent for the election. That is an overtime portion that we expended on the election that we must go into compensation. Cannot, we can only do this basically in an appropriation or the adjustment appropriation. But we will obviously write a lengthy explanatory memo in this regard. How did we achieve it? We achieved it by means of paying 13 fuel accounts in 13 bookings. We paid one fuel account more. How did we do it? On the last day, the 31st, we pleaded by Ford and whatever with the base bank to say, defers that month because we already paid in the next month. They provide to the invoice in the next month. On that 31st, per se, we said to the base bank, give it to us. We have created the room, we can pay this amount. And when we did this, we actually reduced the payment for the next year from 12 to 11. And one of those, payments, which we would have made in the next year, we then used to fund the election. This is how we created the room. It's very valid and it was a definite plan exercise. But we will have to, remember this happened now in the last part, the fourth quarter, after last year's appropriation. So we will ask this committee to support us, please, that we can move from goods and services to compensation. That would imply that your compensation amount becomes a little bit better 25, you become 25.2, 25.1, so forth. And your goods and services, because it reduces, the expenditure level increases. That is one aspect that we will do in this regard. Then what we will also ask for, and but I will come to it. I don't want to prematurely refer to matters that will be coming in the next slide. Then we also have the goods and services, and we will refer to the goods and services, because that is where currently we have places for hundreds which we have to attend to, per se. Then also we have our provincial and our local. You will see there is 23.3%. That is very close to licenses. There's not much can go wrong. You pay your licenses as they come due, and quite recurring, or there's no problem there. Departmental agencies and accounts, there you have your CETA payment, and you have then also your transfer payment to the secretariat. Now, the secretariat at this point in time is a bit behind. We are now doing the third payment to them. Up to this point in time, we have done the agency, we performed agency services with our capacity in order to assist them, in order for them to do their capturing and their payments and whatever they needed to be done. But we are currently busy with a, I think, a 5 million program in order to deposit that amount in their bank account at the Reserve Bank or the Paymaster General account. And then we will then, like a parent himself, dissect ourselves slowly, because what we don't want is just to drop and then have a problem, and then this committee will say to us, but why didn't you guide them, assist them, whatever you could. So this will then happen, and you will then start paying over that amount. So I don't foresee a problem in terms of the paying over of the amount, in terms of the departmental agencies and accounts, and the set of payment is small. I think the secretary budget, I don't have it in front of me, is just over 100 million. So 150, 300 million will go to the secretary about the remains of the set of payment according to the wage bill at the end of the day. That will then just be paid to the set of, because it's a transfer payment. And the transfer payment is an unrequited payment. You pay it over and get something in return, such a value. So you just pay it, you know, sort of to another party and administer the other party. Then you have the household environment, and the household environment have a number of aspects in it, but also the civil claims environment, the payment, public claims and pay after it has been dealt with. But it also has a number of other aspects, as I said, discharges and requirement payouts for part that we are responsible of. Obviously, the GPF is responsible for the other part. Then also our death grants, which we pay to members who pass away while in the service of SAS, and then also the medical treatment of detainees. Also our injuries on duty, which is quite significant, and so forth. In that regard, household one at 568 at 26.9 is a little bit under pressure in terms of an over, not an under. It's 1.9% basically over the 25 linear scenario. We are watching it carefully. The biggest contributor is several claims, which can peak in value as they come due and not necessarily see them, lengthy court processes in terms of when is a claim settled or judged by a court. But the fact of the matter is that is one that we are monitoring very closely, actually on a week-by-week basis, because you only need one or two big claims that comes in, and your percentage can increase significantly or not. Then we get the capital environment. Now, members will remember, and here is the judge, buildings and fees. And we are going to, I'm going to ask the principals of these environments to refer to specifics in this regard just after the presentation. So we will come back to slide 14 so that they can indicate precisely what has happened and so on. But in the buildings and fee structure environment, which is a capital work environment, there's a very low percentage at this point in time. Now, we had a discussion with the DG, and we've just seen him again this morning, with the DG of DPW. And we have other plans as well in order. This is about the erection and peak maintenance of our facilities. So this is out in our capital work and not necessarily and not the leases in the municipal account and so forth. Then we also have the machinery and equipment environment, which currently stands at 10.1%, and in the next slide we will address that one as well. This is not a significant problem for us. It's a normal trend that we have. RT 57 is coming out in March every year. The first quarter you basically order your vehicles, and the second quarter is being delivered. 1 billion rand of vehicles. We have, similar to last year, we said to the committee, and I don't want to, as I said, be premature because of 2014 outputs. Once again, all those vehicles were basically delivered for the previous financial year. You always have a slow start, and then you have your deliveries from different manufacturers, that is Volkswagen, BMW, Nissan, Tata, or whatever. So this order is a heightened environment, but if we look at it in a more structured manner, and if we look at the overview of the spending performance, it's, what I have to say, that underneath all of those, you have various small items. You've got a lot of small items, but small items, some which are big, but some which are very small. Under your goods and services, you might find things such as access less than 5,000 rand. You find your fuel and oil, you find your SITA payments and so forth, and then under the goods and services. But let's look at the overview of the spending performance. Although indicative of nature, expenditures of each quarter in a financial year will not be precisely equal. I think it says the 25, 50, 75, 100% expenditure, but it will never be precisely equal in an environment which are not only recurring of nature. If you take the salary of your own, we pay your salary every month. That's to a certain extent quite easy paper. Put it in flight there of what you think salary will be and so forth. The moment you get to certain big other environments, your uniforms and your networks and your projects and your capital works start doing it sort of peak and very ebb and flow. The trick is to try and estimate when what is going to happen. Now, I've already indicated to you in certain environments we use a statistical model, and in others such as this, we look at when we think we're going to receive the tax reports and GW and so forth. Now, but, so, it is not, but it is a benchmark that we are working with, because at least you don't want to be too far off, because then it's an indicator that you're going to run into problems in quarter 3, 4, 2, 3, and 4. Now, let me say, the total cumulative spending in the vote comprises 22.8% of the allocated budget after 3 months, which is similar to previous years. A little bit less, but it is in that vicinity. And we can indicate why it is less than maybe the previous year in this regard. The compensation of employees, the biggest part, the 75%, how many people are there? Actual spending for the period comprises 25.2%. Fairly on course. Although additional funds will be required in the adjustment estimate for higher than anticipated salary increase as signed in the PSCDC for all departments. We're currently busy with the National Treasury in order to say we're going to need a little bit more in this financial year because of the Public Service Bargaining Council agreement in the previous financial year, because when it was signed, when the state signed that labor agreement, it was higher than what they initially planned for and gave us money for. So the PSCBC salary agreement is CPI linked and was eventually concluded on 7.4% for levels 1 to 12 in 2013-14 for the 3-year financial year, with a carry through effect of more than 0.9% more than in 2014-15. So the carry through effect, because of a higher the salary increase, when the carry through is higher, and that you're going to ask for 487 million. This is the volumes you're talking about. The moment there's the CPI link, salary increase over a raw spectrum of people, and that CPI was estimated, let's say, at 6.9 and suddenly 7.4, then as a relay into the next financial year, which is then a higher amount. So we are busy and we will probably require that. We will then also shift that amount for the overtime of the election, which we have created through to maneuver in the vote. Those are basically the two aspects. We feel quite comfortable with compensation, shall I say, and I think we will manage as close to 100% of the amount at the end of the financial year, except if something very drastic comes up in the last 3 quarters. Then if we go into the goods and services, the next slide, we under remember inclusive services, and it comprises 7% of the allocated budget. Kevin, may I just ask, just to refresh our minds, go back to that one slide, the one by zero on goods and services back. You will see 17%, so it's quite under. So, what are the reasons that goods and services are under? I've already said 120 million in shifting compensation because of the election, but there's others as well. Let's look at that. That's it. The main aspects of the goods and services is the criminal justice system, revamp spending, is below the linear benchmark. I am going to ask General Chesney to also reflect on this just after I've presented the overall presentation. So we will come back to slide 14. If it's called unrest, this is a side that we must address in order to get to our 100% at the end of the day. So the CJS scenario. Then also is the devolved funds from public works, which are below the linear benchmark. I will also ask General Isselman from ECA to address that specifically. What contributed? What are we doing about it? Then there's also the network upgrades. Now this is, we have to do this via CIVA. So on the network upgrades, and we have to upgrade these networks in order for us to run a number of systems. In this committee, there were how many contentious discussions regarding, you cannot implement certain of these things, whether it's a fire control system, whether it's ITMS, whether it's what, if you don't have the networks to disseminate that information, carry that information through. So the network, and we do have good funding for it, competitive funding, and we would like also to indicate that in this regard, we will also leave with this committee documentation to a support of what we're going to say, how we address it in this regard, because first we have to address for CIPA, so to speak. Then obviously, if we then look at the capital assets, the two main primary challenges are buildings and infrastructure, capital works. Go back again, go to that slide again, Kevin, please. That's 5.5%. In that 5.5%, there's a purchase that must be done, which we are struggling with, but we think we are going to get it done. We are hopeful that it will work, and it surrounds Philippi College, the purchase of Philippi College here in the Western Cape, because certain facilities must be created. General Esselman will also refer to that in this regard. And then there's also machinery and equipment portion. Now it's very important to note, and for all the years that we have been in this committee, we spent actually more on vehicles than we have initially estimated. So there's actually very, very little risk, except if you have a huge problem in the vehicle industry, a strike or something, that you're not going to spend a lot. Because Article 57 comes out, and all of the vehicles get delivered in any case. So we say that machinery and equipment historical spending tendencies reflect increased spending during the latter part of the financial year as delivery of vehicles, the major portion, takes place. This is a normal trend, and under expenditure of this item is not a real risk. Someone will also indicate to you that the guardian our vehicles were delivered 99.8 something on our vehicles, and our funds were also expended. We don't run into problems in this regard, except if you get a major strike in the fourth quarter across the motor industry. Obviously, then what can you do about this? But the fact of the matter is, so on machinery and equipment, go just back to that one, please. That machinery and equipment at 10.1%, we don't foresee really any problem in this regard. There's also some IT expenses on equipment and so forth for the remainder of the vehicle amount, but we don't foresee. We have never really had a problem on this. If we then look at the capital spending in a comparative manner, first quarter, and we see 2011, 2012, and 2013. In 2011, 2012, it was 9.4. In 2012, 2013, it was 11.6. And then it was also 11.9% in 2013-14. Financial year. So what we say is, with our current 10%, we're on track, and we don't see that we will have any problem in terms of our machinery, spending on machinery and equipment. Now, the next slide is we're going back to the programs and the sub-programs, because when we presented the overall programming picture to members of the committee, we said we will get to the program contributors to the program overall under expenditure, and these are then the aspects where we refer to items. So basically it's a three-way combination. The program broken down into sub-programs, we also refer to items. In the first instance, we have the ministry. I'm going to have to go into that. It's not a big amount, but obviously there was a change in ministers, a change in personnel, and so forth, and he will manage it. He doesn't really present the problem at all. Then when we see management, it's currently at 19.8%, in this regard a little bit under, and we don't foresee that we will have a problem regarding this environment. The next one we'll have corporate services. Corporate services currently is at 20.7%. And we have the surveyor secretary at 16%. Now what do we say? We say this program is below a linear benchmark, mainly as a result of lower spending on the capital goods in the building environment. And you find that within corporate services. The lower spending on the IGS, the CGS is program 3. The lower spending on network upgrades and uniform. And we will provide context from the two principals just after this to give more detail, because I just referred now to the indication. Now, those things you will find in Program 1 alignments. And those items, as the prominent items, are behind the linear benchmark of 25%. So those are the reasons. Cause and effect. If we then go to Program 2, what we see that the biggest one, contribution by far, with its 29 billion and 7 billion already expended, stands at 23.9%. For such a big program, 34%, we quite happy, certain vehicles are still delivered, which will then increase the expenditure. So we are quite happy on contribution. Border security at 24.4, very close. Specialized interventions at 25.1, the one for the 0.1 it was part of. Facilities, those are all other facilities except capital works. Leases, rental accounts, accommodation charges and so forth at 23.6%. Not highly problematic, but a little bit behind. Now what do we say about this program if members look at it? We say it's fairly in line with the linear benchmark, except for the following. Lower spending in a facilities environment, as spending on leases represents only one claim received from DPW for April 2014. Both May and June 2040 claims were paid in July, the subsequent month. We get invoices from them, claims, and these by DPW by the networks. That is the model that works. And so there was a little bit of a lag in terms of the invoice received from DPW. If you now go to further months, you will see that the expenditure increased significantly. Then also, the vehicle deliveries, as usual, to realize mainly in the latter part of the financial year. We are not fairly concerned about leases per se in this regard, or the payment per se. We always receive it a little bit, a month or even two. You can just imagine. The state is has 49% of all our leases in the state, SAS. So nearly all, the half of all leases in the state belongs to SAS. So it's a significant exercise that DPW must do to present those leases to us. We do a reconciliation exercise. Is it our lease? Is it not our lease? Is it still lease? And if it is not, goes out. If it is, we pay. DPW pays landlord. So we are not really overly concerned about that scenario. We receive it normally in discussion, and in the past we actually even had some pressure towards the end of the financial year that some of the leases were more expensive, not just CPI related, and we had to provide for funds in this regard. This is with regard to visible police spending performance. Then if we go to program 3, members of the committee and chairperson, that's effective services. Crime investigations, which is where General Munu is principal, is currently at 23.3%. The criminal record sector, where General Baslani is in charge as a principal, is 24.2%. And then the forensic science laboratory is 18.2%. And the specialized investigations with General Brahmat is the principal. This is from top to bottom. All the expenditure in his division and into the provinces for the DPCI until such time as they have a different model. The 1.3 and 21.7 million. They have a very credible baseline. I think 3 years ago we got an additional 100 million, which is still on that baseline. But we will, obviously, this will change now from 60 onwards as it's a protocol, and there's a guideline document for the selection of cases of the mandate, and there will have to be a section from detection and DTCI, which are the funds from DTCI, from specialized investigations, will have to move to crime detection sub-program one. So they separate sub-programs. And the whole specialized investigations is DTCI. So, what do we say? The mask even though they have benchmarked mainly as a result of low spending on CJS impact in that forensic science laboratory. The CJS takes place in more than one environment. It takes place in the IT environment, it takes place in the forensic environment, and it takes place in the criminal CRC, criminal record center environment. But what she's doing in the TNS environment is actually only for the benefit of the detection, because you can't give the detection the money to, in the sense, program new applications. So those are basically the aspects. If we then look at crime investigation 23.3, there's still need some expenditure to come in, but we're not concerned about that. Criminal record center 24.2%, they are spot on. Forensic science laboratory, as I've been at 2%. And then also specialized investigations at 21.7%. Normally, they are a bit behind because they wait for a significant number of vehicles to this regard. By huge volumes of vehicles, and I think they are very well resourced in terms of most of the items. You can then go to program 4, crime intelligence. Actually, to a large extent, personnel index of the member, the secret service does not fall within the police, it's outside of the police, so this is not included in there. Crime intelligence operations at 24%, intelligence and information management at 24.2%, we say in line with the earlier benchmark, but vehicle deliveries as usual to realize mainly in the latter part of the financial year. And I think this is obvious, this one is quite in line. Then we go to program 5. And protection and security services and the spending performance in this regard. Now the protection services at 27.4. Here we have a challenge with pressure. We have a little bit of challenge with pressure in terms of the over on that side further. Then you have tactical mobile security 23.9 in line. Government security regulator at 26.2, a little bit over. But because it's only 96 million and 25 million, not that we say a lesser amount is less important, please. It's not the case. But that means you can just easily, more easily, manage a smaller amount if you have over or under than to a certain extent a big amount. And then we have the operational support at 22.3. We've looked at the breakdowns in this one, and we say the total program is in line with the linear benchmark, although pressure is behind the protection services related to travel and subsistence as a result of protecting duties. I think this is very important. Obviously, there's a lot of protecting duties. There's also a lot of protecting duties during elections and so forth, so there's a number of pressure. But this program has also a tendency that it will come in just to see. I don't think we're going to have any challenges really here in terms of program spending per se. Can you just go back to 40? Go back to slide number 40. And I think I would like to start with my colleague that was sitting next to me to address the items that is related to the principal employment and then General Osama. First, before the start, and then announced the CJS. Is it involved public works? Is it networks and uniform? Is it buildings and infrastructure capital works? And then is also the machinery and equipment. Please, General Shesi, can you enlighten the committee with more detail of what I've indicated according to the operation of
going to be going through the items that I was getting already alluded to. I'm going to talk to the CJS, I'm going to talk to the IJS, and then I'm going to do the network upgrades before I end up in the collection of assets. Apparently it is important that I need to start to provide this clarity set so that it is understood in the concept of what I'm going to discuss. Then I'll get to presenting the expenditure on an overall perspective. Given the number of programs or the number of divisions or environmental stuff, it may have been difficult or it may always be, given the massive organization that we have, to perhaps provide a breakdown of the expense through our reporters in a similar session in all environments. General Sketch's approach is on a 25% linear model throughout the course. 25% of the one throughout, so that the expenditure is deliberated in the session. It then appears in the presentation from how it is translated as if environment has understand. But when you zoom into specific environments and you look into the environment of the technology management service as well as the forensic services that I'm going to be talking about, you will find that we have broken down the spend per quarter. So it may imply that for quarter one, given what we know, that we know characteristics of the vehicles that are available on which we can do procurement, we may not, for example, be able to spend 25%, but we can be able to spend 10%. But then in quarter two, because we know that the vehicles have been paid, can be able to procure, then we know that then, instead of us having spent 10% or let's say 25% in quarter two, that then will spend 35%. It will then disappear quarter in terms of how we then approach it. So the allocation was already presented to the committee. The committee would then have the percentage breakdowns of the various divisions, particularly the TMS environment as well as the forensics environment on how the quarterly breakdown was going to be approached. In essence, I'm saying quality environment is not necessarily an understanding, either the CJS and the IJS, but if you view it in the broader scope of that, of under 25%, it then may appear as if they didn't understand. When you get the CJS portion, it is breaking down into two. The forensic services have got 579 million, for instance, and the TMS environment has got about 733 million, in which it talks to the elements of the CJS. I'm going to be focusing first on the CJS reserve for the technology management environment, the 733,000 We had planned that in a quarter, we are going to be planning for quarter one, particularly about the quarter that is under review. We had targeted to spend 9,544,000 in the quarter, along with the project milestone, what we knew we were going to be able to achieve, given the resources at hand, at that time frame. We had then planned that we were going to be spending 49 million, but at the outcome of the end of quarter one, we were able to spend about double that, we spent about 101 million. It means from what we had planned, we had actually performed far better at 204%. There are a number of reasons for this good performance in terms of the CJS, the technology management environment, which I will also deliberate a little bit later on. The same for the forensic environment, the combined, as you have shown in the previous presentation, it appears that the services have actually performed a 17.1 when in fact the presentation there superseded what was planned for quarter one. We had planned to spend about 18.2% of the allocation for quarter one. We in fact spent 18.4% in that category as well. So it means we had actually performed in both programs for the CJS above the plan. But what goes into the CJS? When the chairperson started the meeting this morning, he was referring to a number of programs that are assigned within the NDP, and then he had said, how we take into consideration what the NDP is saying in terms of what it is that we are rolling out our services on to achieve the chapter 12. In the CJS space, there are about 8 programs or sub-programs that I want to quickly just go through so that I do not take a lot of time. The first one is the development of personnel in forensic services. This now talks to the expansion of forensic experts. It talks to the training and the skilling of the forensic people who will then process the massively anticipated workload in terms of the development within that space. That is the first part in the CJS. It talks also about the detection, collection, and use of forensic evidence. Those are then activities that happen within the crime scene management environment, where collection of evidence happens in all the crime cases. That includes the consumable use to collect, like the PPEs. It talks to the crime chief themselves, it talks to the lights and the equipment that is used to do the collection or detection of those forensic evidence in the crime scene. The third one talks to the timely processing and analysis of examination. Now those ones talk to activities that happen within the laboratory itself. Now that the crime scene people have collected from the crime scene, these exhibits are now brought into the laboratory, those are the processes that are happening within the laboratories. In the previous instances for the committee, that was key, was the processing time. How long does it take to process this for the court system or the CJA process is not delayed? That processing in-house is talking then to that category 3 within the CJS. Number 4, talk to the improved business performance, talk to the capacity and accreditation of forensic laboratories. The committee was recalled when we were processing the criminal laws and the procedures amendment. Amongst other things that we've spoken to was the accreditation of amongst others for forensic laboratories, but which accreditation processes then are required as part of enabling or implementing that law. Those are what is happening within the space capacity in terms of ensuring compliance with the necessary legislation, to the international standards in terms of how the laboratories should be done and so forth. That is the element that talks to this part. The other one talks to the forensic awareness. I think the chairperson will also take note that there are campaigns that are driven from the SAPS side, which campaigns are very sensitized to the communities on the web of SAPS, but particularly in this instance, it is referring to empowerment of the victims in terms of knowing their rights and reporting and what not to do and do so that the forensic evidence is not contaminated or it is not dealt with maliciously. So those are the programs that are dealt with. In these, they include international conferences that the SAPS hosts on an annual basis, where we then liaise with the peers within the space to see best practices in terms of the approaches utilized within the foreign space as well as in the law enforcement space. The second last one is the expansion and the decentralization then of forensic services. We would take note also when the questions that were arising in the previous answer to say, what are we doing in terms of reaching to the crime scenes on time after the crime has been reported? What are the queries that are coming on dating back in the past where the criminal, the crime scene experts take time to reach the crime scenes? Why won't you then establish facilitations or decentralized police stations so they're able to reach those communities in a quicker manner? That talks to those decentralization of services. Now, it doesn't only talk to the collection of countries, but it also talks to the processing of prints, which is normally centralized to some of the areas within metropole, but then it is now going through to those environments where that service did not occur before. The last one then talks to the modernization of systems. This modernization of systems includes upgrading the revamping of the current IT system to be able to be taking care of the capacities and the number of people that are raised within the IT space to enable all the law enforcement activities to take care. It upgrades does not only talk then in this instance to elements within the criminal justice space, but it's money that is enabling even throughout the IDA as part of it, which I'll also focus on when I'm completing the CGS, but to provide the correct infrastructure for even other government departments within the cluster to be able to utilize the facilities or the networks for us to be able to process the criminal or for, can I say, the criminal cases in a more proficient manner. So coming back in the CJS part for the TMS, I already said that we are going to spend $49 million in this part. We are still spending $101 million in terms of the services in that regard. But what is within those CJS elements, for instance? Among other things that are in there, which items have gone through, which items have been happening quite intensely and quite effectively, is expansion on equipment. The committee will take note, amongst others, in the implementation of the criminal law. It was spoke about the RA lanes, it spoke about the CI lane. It would be interesting to now know what has those delivery of those equipment to those values of about millions of rand done to this instance in terms of enabling the processing of crimes. In this one, perhaps I may allude a little bit to the backlog that has been reduced from the forensic services in terms of the utilization of those equipment hardware that were procured for RI lane purposes for the CIA, how significantly that impacted on the reduction of backlog within the forensic space. So that's one of the great achievements that has happened thus far, which achievement we have been very proud of. The other one was the decentralization of ages, is the ages of decentralized, which is other stations or satellite stations, where the comparative stations through the AC satellites then, okay, where it didn't happen then in those instances. Others are really perhaps the software licenses that have been renewed in terms of doing the comparative sessions or in the DNA space. The country will take note that in part of the solution that you were talking about during the course of this year was the software on the comparative sessions in the DNA database. Now that the law was passed, one of the questions was what was the preparation status of the forensic environment to ensure that once it is inspected, we are able to then run, you know, without having the clashes or the impediments within the process. So a number of the processes have been streamlined in that space so that it enables them that we are able to deal with high volumes of the crimes that we detect in that manner. So whatever the technology management services does, it will provide the technology aspect of it in terms of good IT solutions, but the forensic environment then will provide the consumable part of it in terms of the chemistry utilized, in terms of the end deliverables that are non-IT to ensure that the collective achievement is retained. So if the company would like to have them specifically, maybe during the questioning time, I may be able to take those questioning, but I think with the details that we provided earlier, it may then cover a number of those CJS initiatives. But when I talk to the IJS, one, the IJS local program one, and I said they already alluded to the IJS, which is reflected in program one, the CJS may appear under the program three, but the IJS one is a broader program within the cluster, which does not only focus on the development of the IT space or SaaS only, but also to provide the backbone of the platform for others that are going to be able to utilize it. In the third quarter of the year, we have planned to spend $16 million in the IT space, considering all the vehicles in place in terms of contracts from which we draw resources, in terms of contracts that we can then put in place, in terms of the skilled people that we have, we're able to roll out the program, we have a look. And we planned $16 million, but we could only achieve 12 million of the part. There are a number of reasons why we did not achieve the 100% of the 50, or really the 50 that we had planned, which is our top suggestion this summer, as I will conclude. And then there are two programs already within the IJS. One is the transversal program as well, which we have then planned to spend in that space about $11 million. We only spent $8 million, which is about 71% of the budget spent. This is not so well outside of what we have then planned for. But what we then do, which is amongst the other monitoring and evaluation corrective measures that we have put in place to mitigate against the delay spend, was that we could only spend or pay the company once we've obtained the source documents and the reference and we've verified and that, you know, and satisfied ourselves that the work has indeed been done. Where the payments were not detected, where in those instances where we would not get evidence that indeed was a claim actually performed. So we could have easily have spent 100% of what we budgeted for, but until those were provided and they were supplied, we could not have done those payments. One of which was released within the ICDMSA, Integrated Investigative Case Management System. This is the system that will now incorporate the previous CAP. This is a system where the committee takes much interest in terms of the e-docket. One of the questions that the committee asked in the past, how far is the e-docket? You know, the scaling capabilities. This is the system that the DMS have been talking
about. Yes, I think, the purpose really today is to look at the, I appreciate, the information. The previous question asked by the committee, but to get this ready, to the topic of that.
In terms of the ICDFS, we had then spent, that was a major contributor to the underspend in this case. We had planned to spend $6 million, we had then spent 2.9, which was about 47.9%. What made the delays in this were because of the invoices that were received from the environment like CETA in this case. So in the ICDFS chair, what was then planned as a colleague, as a total, the 12 million as well as the 11 million, it's also about 28 to 25%. That's the total of what we had actually planned to spend the IJS, which is well within our plan in end of quarter two, quite significant progress from what we had planned to what we intended to plan for this quarter. The last question then I will talk to Chairperson is the network upgrade, the national network upgrade program. In quarter one, we plan to spend 85 million. The 85 million was looking mainly to the rollover that was coming from the previous financial year, where a number of payments were not made, which payments were really the late of quarter one. In this instance, for the new financial year, or in terms of the work that was going to be done in this particular quarter, we did not plan to spend anything with regard to the new work that was going to be done for quarter one, but the new work was planned to do in quarter two, and then receive the confirmation of the contracts that we have. There are about three major items or major contracts that we are waiting CISA to conclude, which relate to ICT infrastructure, the cabling, as well as the server and the storage contract, which has to happen. Unless those are happening in the CISA space, the network upgrade will continue to become a problem. I think the landscape has already spoken to just say that unless the network enabled all other rollouts of applications will then be a bit of problematic. In quarter two, we have also, to date, we do see that there are a number of improvements in the area, but the main deliverables that need to enable that spending in the network phase are really those contracts that are outstanding. Unless those contracts are finalized and they are awarded, you will come back in quarter two and still report that we did not spend because we still have the same challenges. The same contract. If I can also provide a little bit of an update in this special person, the evaluation of the contract has been concluded. It's going towards the finalization of our space. It isn't necessarily the cases where we still have to do some work, but it is the cases where it has also concluded on their part so that we are then enabled to be able to go in outstanding. I think for my part, that will conclude in summary the spending which the information is required. Thank you.
Just to add, I think in the last regard we have had significant interaction with CISA. We came up with a proposal. The fact is just the proposals has to work out, because otherwise we could run for a problem in terms of this network upgrade. The funds are available, the interaction took place, and we trust that we will enhance it experientially. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
May I just then ask General Erson what to reflect for us in the building environment and also into the uniform environment and the legal
environment? If I may ask, please forgive me if I'm saying that most of the things that you have said, but I will go to a more detailed level of what we were supposed to do, what we did do, and how we found the solution. Then on facilities, currently we were allocated on number 2. Billion rent for parking and basin charges. We currently stand 25%, so there should not be a problem with that. Municipal services, we currently standing on 27%. We should not, they will get their stats on the leases where they are challenged. They've only received one invoice from DPW. We finalize it now, so we receive for April, May, and June, so we expect from far for the first quarter. And then I think the biggest one is the capital works projects. We're currently spending on 5.5%. Just want to give you an indication of what we've done with capital works for all of us to be on the same line. We've taken capital works and we've broken it down into smaller segments of management. We've allocated money for site clearances because it was previously easier. We've given money for planned maintenance and then the execution part means the physical building of the police station. Which the bulk of the money needs to. We registered 374 projects. That's now with SFTS and with DTW to do collectively. Under capital works, I'll explain the 6 police stations that we're going to build, but I need to mention that we also identified our vegan-friendly facilities as a priority, so we allocated money for that. The process is in place. We just didn't know that receiving the first step of the delivery. We had meetings with the companies, they find all the deliveries for our victim friends is working in October, November, so the expenditure for that item will increase in the third quarter. Additional office space, we've also under capital work, we've also taken money, we've given money to office space, which we in dire need from. When we go to the biggest bulk of the money was allocated to the building of the 6 rural for these patients. Magistral, Michael Ruma, the contractor is on site. He just there, but he wasn't there, but the process, administrative process was completed, so the people are on site. Magistral and Michael Ruma. Yes, Pugutsa is also finalized. We're just waiting the appointment of the architects and the contractor will go on site. We hope that it will be in the second quarter, so we can start showing expenditure on that. Marexane and Vastrap, we've also finalized the process. It's now in the PAC state. If I mention the street police station, because it's the bulk of the money that was allocated to capital works, we foresee that if the construction is out, I think that the expenditure will pick up as we go along. But the six police stations, the rural police stations, will be built in support of for the chairmanship to include the building of police stations. The DPW, they are currently on 13%, but we've identified and we found a solution that our national commissioner has met with them, long story short, came up to the conclusion that there was a task team appointed, the task team was appointed, and currently they're going to all the provinces, all the regions, see and evaluate the current projects, whereby they will come back and make a proposal to the national police. They also indicated, because, you know, said they said it already, our environment is 50% government's initiative, they will now employ or implement the help desk function, so when our people on the ground is the problems, we can always talk to the help desk we're currently assisting, and we'll make sure that it's implemented. Then, one of the biggest reasons for our maybe bad planning was that we wanted to buy a facility, which we is now in the process, and our thinking was that if we can buy a facility, we will then look for the building of a police station on the site of the Freedom or Younger, so we can help the current scenario there. But we met with DPW, and they will assist us now in finalizing the facility costs. We foresee that it was supposed to be in the first quarter. We couldn't finalize it, but we'll push it for the second quarter. Then on clothing, yes, we did not give our target, and the reason why the industry was out for the suppliers, their deliveries was late. We then arranged a meeting with all the suppliers, where we identified that the biggest challenge for the clothing environment was the material was not available. And it was not just for them it wasn't available, I think it was in South Africa that the textile industry had issues. We took it further and we looked at the delivery dates, and then we met the DTI, Department of Trade and Industry, to help and assist us. They came to the market, they helped us, so our delivery of clothing items has now increased, and I think in the second and third quarter as well. So we had a challenge with the clothing environment. The store items, I think usually the ammo, we placed our orders, or although we haven't received the items, all the orders for all our ammunition is placed, so we are just waiting. And the reason for the first quarter, not achieving our order in the first quarter, because of the long manufacturing period. The R5 project is all around, we placed orders, we haven't received the expenditure yet, but we will finalize it in second and third. Blitzerloop is always a question. We placed an order for 3,183. We haven't received them yet. We foresee that according to the timetable or delivery period, it will be in the third quarter. And then we're in the process to finalize our process for the festival. The stationery store, we don't foresee any problems. There should be enough stationery for all police stations. And then the last, maybe on the vehicles, I think it's important. Last year we received 1.2 billion. This year we received 1.033, so we received less. So we need to check up that, but we placed an order for 4,023 vehicles. Currently standing on 686 that's been delivered, so there's 3,337 outstanding. Important on the vehicles, what we've done is to make sure that our service doesn't go down. We compared the utilization of our vehicles to the last 3 years, April, May and June, and currently we're standing on 82%
Chair, as you well know, we will leave supporting documents of what we said in terms of the flowing, in terms of the DTI interaction, in terms of the CIFAR interaction, and in terms of the vehicles. We leave it with the committee, with yourself and the committee, for further reference, or in order to use for managing purposes in this regard. So if you put proof in the pudding, it's not just merely what we said. We also try to provide this in industry. But as I've said, normally vehicles do not have a problem. They come in except with a major strike. In terms of the IT environment and the clothing and so forth. You see, in the clothing environment, we could not buy certain textiles that were bought and the local content from DTI increased. And when we approached them, they said, compliance. The local industry could not provide it, so they bought some weaving machines and whatever in order to support that for industry and for us to get that. So that it appears to us have been sorted out in terms of, and the clothing is still at 29 million. There's a big amount that you're talking about. The vehicles obviously is in excess. Remember, the vehicle allocation this year is a little bit less. The reason being, as we've indicated in the EME exercise, the Treasury used some of the funds to shift to the compensation for the implementation of that great progression for class level 3 to 5. There's quite some more that we could have said. We trust we've taken nearly 40 minutes, and we would like to thank the chairperson, especially committee members, for being patient while we were presenting. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much for the comprehensive report. We appreciate it. It's a big budget, 72 billion, so it's important that we get CIS over the recognizing. I mean, the first question from one side and the other one will be asking us as we go along. Maybe the first issue, and maybe it's a very difficult question that can answer to me, I suppose. Now, in the action on this vehicle to lie with the National Commission, the Visa Committee said, well, in terms of stable environment, succession planning, it's important that there must be a CFO appointed. Now, you've got an excellent level of the CFO appointed. That, going forward, and in terms of looking at corporate governance of finance process, and the National Commission at that stage indicated that there's no going to put it now, she will later address the matter. But from a BMI perspective, that of Treasury, it's critical that there is a permanency of code. For instance, when you had interactions with the ECI a day or two ago, which in general Dramat indicated that there was no expenditure for the four quarters, and he said, oh, that has got any control of these finances. also indicated that the handover to the Secretariat is now happening with the end of September. Also question on their ability and viability to do their own thing. I mean, with the parent relationship you've mentioned yourself. Is that viable going forward from the end of September? Will SAPS keep an oversight view, or we will keep tabs on things? Is it sustainable? So in terms of your own unit, how do you see that also in terms of succession plan that you've got in history start so maybe just to get your views on that? Then you also raised the issue, and then maybe a topical issue, the assistance the SADC and the SUTU currently. Just for information purposes for the committee, where is that coming from? Is that coming from the three state budget, is that the operational budget, you know, what is the game plan there? Then one issue, and I think that's quite important that we get feedback from the machine. Raised the issue also on the 11th of July, the question of the Petrom project. And during the meeting, we requested the National Commission and the team, we said, just give us a one pager on where we are with that project as a committee. We have received nothing. And that's really not acceptable. It's unacceptable. The reality is, there was a fill of contracts and so on, but SAPS, I mean, it's a historic project, we acknowledge that. And I mean, there was briefings to the committee in 2011, there was site visits. The problem we have this committee is that, I mean, there was 400 plus million spent on that project. The final implementation didn't take place. As we are aware, there was negotiations, discussions with the National Commissioner. There was process mediation or arbitration to deal with the issue. Feedback we see from various quarters is that there is efforts to communicate to the National Commissioner, 11-10 letters saying no feedback. And that's really problematic, because at the end of the day, as you also previously argued, it's about value for money. Well, if it's unauthorized expenditure, National Treasury should have that all at one other stage. But the reality is, that spin was made. If the project is not completed, that will mean that a huge amount of money will be lost. And the problem is also if you have serious crime of communications, these people are not up and running. You know, you set the state of the art facilities there, and you need to let them procure 200 million to finish it. But we're not moving on it. So it is quite important that the committee gets today. Feedback on that. Where are we? Are we? Because, you know, we ask for one page in the MDA. So that raised various questions, and in terms of oversight, we need assurances that that money, whether it was unauthorized or not, value money is critical. So we need, you know, feedback on that today. So that will be the first thing from my side, not from the budget.
Thank you. You mentioned of elections and national election of provincial elections. I don't know what happened to you, but high profile cases like the most of the scholars one, where in general Munu had to be in court every day. Was it, took it like overtime, or what was it? Or was it a normal? Was it normal, or was it treated like overtime? My other question is on you have a anybody in power. How much did this partner spend on this university? And in which problem that this university for? Can I go on to? Yeah. Which letters can better explain lower spending on the IJS?
Just two questions. Under economic classification, transfers and subsidies, there's non-profit institutions. I'm not sure what that means, so that's a connection of which institutions are we talking about. Because we are talking about a million here. The second question would be the general said not even a cent was given to them for the elections. So they went to transfer funds from goods and services into compensation. My question would be is that are they going to be reimbursed? Or if not, what usually happens? Surely it can't be a situation whereby they simply say now it's part of your job, even if you have to overstretch yourself. Or is the question that maybe they themselves didn't budget for the election or for 2010 or what generally happens under such circumstances? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Just two issues. The news as well,
polished and the plans, the current existing college of it to be considered. One linkage like as the services are expected to be provided or derived from the addition to renewal of the CP college be realized via the plan establishment. Number two, there has been talk or the alluded to the development of the heat of the system. What are the challenges that have been identified with the heat of the system? Can we say that which we paid for was the woman? And if it wasn't, what we have to mean, what is the kind of additional that we have to go through? Yeah, I'll go through that.
The hospital made mention of the delivery of vehicles in the latter part of the financial year. That does not constitute fiscal campaign. The next question is, nothing was spent on biological assets at the end of the fiscal term. Why? Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe just before we ask for this response, just maybe to latch on the question asked by Honorable Mark here regarding the elections. October is going well, let's look at the future. Is 2016 part of the plan to produce the elections? Will you have an item briefing or what's your planning in terms of that to ensure that we don't get up and repeat the people's take from the 50? From another source. What is your planning with the law? Thanks. Let's have responses and then we'll go to another.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I think firstly let me refer to the CFO position in this regard and the governance aspect. I trust that you will understand it because I think I'm also the incumbent. It would be very difficult for me to respond in that regard because, you know, what happened. Be that as it may, I think that's also a matter that may need some time to come in about that, or maybe it was taken up with the National Commission per se, so to speak. But I know the intention is there, it's just that she has indicated that it would be very difficult for me to speak on it. I hope members will understand that it will not be ethical to try and second guess in this regard. Obviously, currently we are doing, I am doing the job and the other one per se. In this regard, may I just specifically a little bit refer to the secretariat and the DPCI. In terms of the secretariat, so you're asking me a value judgment in terms of will they be able to. We have done system of, firstly, we had some interaction and agreements for them to have their IT systems and so forth, such as PASAL, PASH and so forth. We have done certain things with them at this point in time. We run a VAC and so forth. It's specifically a template for when you become a new department, and everybody would know what you have to put in place. Now, we have gone through that template for them to say, do you have systems? Do you have a bank account? Do you have this? Do you have that? We had a little bit of a difficulty with CECO in terms of their best functionality. They have their bank account and so forth. The 5 million at this point in time that we are going to give to them in order for them to make the payment, not we, because currently we make the payment on their behalf and then we claim the money back from their budget. So we create their account and they pay us back. Is actually the best. Now, I would like to be premature, but I think with a few niggles here and there, I think we will be able to provide them with that 5 million and then make the payment. And I think it's going to be successful. That is my estimate after we have had certain interactions. But we must also be able to say that surely that bird, if I may use the metaphor, that bird must fly at some point. And if this first step is successful, obviously the budget must be, the rest of the budget, the money they haven't expended, must then be paid over to them on a monthly cash flow basis. I think at least if we don't do it 100%, we will be able to do it to a large extent. because they must have controls in place, they must have policies in place and so forth. I know they have been working on, and there might be challenges. A new department, I think about all the new departments went on 3-4 years ago. It's a difficult scenario, and there are even people who have a lot more experience than we do in this regard because they have established previously departments. But the fact of the matter is, I think we will come back to you during our October in order to say yes and to what extent, or no and to what extent. But as far as we're concerned, I don't think we have a choice other than that to comply. And the fact is, if they become also part of the oversight of us, they must have that independence and remember the eventual thing would actually be for them to become both like I do. To be totally, because currently we transfer from our vote to them, although it's earmarked. And I think that would be the eventual thing. And the Treasury will grant that total independence as a separate vote, which will come here, say, from 26 Secretariat, if they don't have those capabilities. I think Section 38(1)(J) of the TFMA also requires you must have all the controls in place. So I hope and I trust and I think at least it will be partially, but it's taking place now within the next week or two, the payments. If we get to the DPCI is actually at this point in time in a transition scenario. They're all resources. And we have had interactions in order to get with Brussels, sat together and so forth. At this point in time, they are part and parcel of the accountability of the National Commission, but they've got certain preferences and demarcations in terms of the Act. So there's a lot of qualifications linked to it. They must have their own this and they must have their own, that. Currently, and I come back, I think back in one, I didn't bring it along, but we will also check it out if there is an October scenario. I didn't even understand this program. I think they can be. Currently, they do have provincial people, but they report also directly to General Gramat to a large extent. Now, and General Moon and myself also had discussions, and this is a thing that's coming up. You very well know about the protocol, about the selection of cases. You very well know about the guideline regarding the mandate. Those things must now be used in order to dissect the resources between. It's just for me to use this to the sub-program to program to this camera. In order to dissect between crime specialized investigations and crime investigations. Yeah. That's one form. Because if we now apply the protocol document and the selection of cases, it might be that the composition of the work currently with specialized investigations becomes a threat. It might become less, but more project driven and so forth. So we invest that funds, people, and other resources will move from sub-program 4 to sub-program 1. If you look at that model. But obviously, sub-program 4, the intentions will then become a program 6. And in this regard, that would guide that we are busy and we have had interaction with the Treasury, but we need to know. As I said, we do our compensation. This is going to be a very small program. And I'm going to say it here today to members. If you have such a small program, a vitamin is very difficult. Because 8% is a small amount. It's just like that. You overspend on your 8%. That's not allowed. So we have to be very, very close in our estimates of who's going to do what in terms of 15-16 when we create it and when we present to you. But then we also need to know, not precisely, but at least have an indication who's staying behind and who's going back to current investigations. Because if it's a lot of colonels and captains or whatever, their financial implications are a lot higher than entry levels. So there's a little bit more. We also have to present you people with a purpose and manifest. The purpose of the program. Functions of the program. How did we get, because you're going to ask us, how did we get to these sub-programs of the BDCI? So there's, but we are busy with it, and we have also had indications and intentions so that it will be in the Winter's Cruise and in the Red Book of the Share Program 6. Because we just have to do that. and I think this is the transitional aspect that we have. In the meantime, I must say, what you see there, what they get. It's not as if we are taking anything away from. We treat them fairly independent within the ambit of the law in this regard. They have their 1.3 billion and we try to manage it as such. I think the 21.7% actually shows that they're a little behind, but they always buy a lot of vehicles. A lot of vehicles, and I think the ratio also of members of the vehicles is very good. So in that regard, I think it's going to be a difficult scenario. It's going to be, I don't want to use a comparator, but it's very similar to the asset forfeiture unit within the vote of justice, which sits with a piece of legislation within the vote. You might even have that kind of SIU scenario, that kind of MPA scenario, where you have a piece of legislation that's going to come for the DG of Justice, that was going to take out to the National Commissioner, that they will have certain preferences and autonomous aspects that they would be more independent. That's how we do it, and to create that demarcation is not the easiest thing in the world, but that's the intention to do, so that they work at least for their function as being directed to the business. I think it's really important, but viable, sir, that's a good point actually that you that you put to me. The law has been made, we have to comply with the law. And we will try and we will definitely support you to have a problem should interact with this money. So this is where we are. These are the problems we have and so forth. You are the lawmakers, we are the implementers in this regard. Secretary as I referred to, I think that one can be made to work. Then I would also like for the DECOM Westpol to maybe just refer to the Sudan and the city scenario. Yes, it is basically within the program 3, but for the city 1, we will probably make additional funding available for that employment. But the Sudan is not in program 3 too, within program 2, where it is being dealt with. Sorry, but it's not reduced with Gemma Wella. But we will also respond to your speaker, and then we will go to the next one. Can you make this one, please?
Thank you, Honorable Chairman, Honorable Members. On the issue of deployment of members in Sudan, under the Division of Personal Response Services, we have international deployment. So the budget that is allocated and is utilized for any deployment is done at least at the other country. Thank you, sir.
May I just say that I think currently, and now, if I'm not mistaken, I think our ISA has a deployment budget of in the vicinity of 30 million. I think. Surely, if the pressures of community practice and Sudan deployments and so forth, we will have to somehow top it up, because it's a bit unforeseen. We will have to add to general with us deployment budget. I think it's currently running on a 30 million deployment scenario. And I know he wants a specific information and a specific approval also for the Sutu one. If I'm not mistaken, the Sutu deployment was in the vicinity of 5 to 6 million for a period of 30 days or 60 days. So, specific attention is being given to that aspect. Jeff, if we look at the TECRA one, and I think in that letter that they must still provide to you based on our July appearance, I think the TECRA one, we will provide some indication. But the TECRA one is a quite a difficult one. We did make certain, as you said, that if 400 million we receive services and products for it, to stores and buildings and so on. But I must also say, could the angels fear the better? In the sense that there are court actions ahead. And there is a submission to a national commission in this regard. You referred to the mediation aspect between SAS, its representatives, and then also the supplier and its representatives. There were also certain other aspects that came to the forefront. Because eventually we will have the decision to whether we complete it, whether we use some of those files, because the equipment is not suitable. It can be used. But the fact of the matter is, you've correctly indicated the least it has been service level. And service level means there must be communication. So I think it's a very high level decision that must be taken in this regard. We are fully aware of it. I think the last aspect has been submitted to the National Commission of Justice Committee, which changed the mediation a little bit. And she must have a lot of reminds in this regard whether we are going left or right. But I make a commitment, we will have in this regard. With a more definite answer, yes, I have more information in my head, but I hope you will understand that I have to tread a little bit easily in the sense that who knows what's going to happen at the court. And what I say here today is very easily referred to. So I have to do it. I don't know whether General Shetty would like to also mention a few things. Remember, there's the death by the Eastern Cape, and then we also run the death by the Gauteng, and that is more of an upgrade maintenance thing. That is the EU. The Eastern Cape one is the more challenging one, so to speak. General Shetty, from your side, maybe also just an indication of going forward in this regard.
Thank you, General. Perhaps we'll touch on Eastern Cape. General has already alluded to it, and this is what we've come to process with. But with the response then to the letter that we've come to the ship, we should get the first company, the regional commission, to indicate of what that is intended. I think to say in the Tetra Gauteng one, the Tetra Gauteng is functional. We are in the stage where we are to upgrade the existing Tetra position in the Gauteng, which we are at the final stages of the contract processing of the big processing of what originally came with the Tetra Gauteng. But as you see, the system is quite functional, although a bit overloaded because of the hardware age. But the Tetra Gauteng is current and
thank you. I think let's just break for 10 minutes, then we come back with the other spots and other rounds. I just don't want to serve our guest from Pretoria coldly.
just one thing, sir. On the Tetra Gauteng, we had to also upgrade the switch. We can't just maintain. That was the issue. We had to upgrade the switch per se, which is expensive.
So, colleagues, just 10 minutes and then come back.